I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A young Jewish family with a newborn baby boy is looking for a bit of consolation that they have what it takes to raise him. They have a growing sense that they are not raising an ordinary child. But then many parents feel that way, don't they? Mary and Joseph are not about to forgo the usual rites and rituals that have been written down in the Jewish laws. They want to please God and see that their baby has the kind of life God has destined for him to have. They most certainly don't know any other way to ensure that than to obey the laws prescribed for those who have a firstborn son. Mary and Joseph comfort their son as he cries in their arms during the worship service in the temple of Jerusalem. The two turtle doves in the wooden cage have been cooing in tune with their shushing. They nervously stand through the purification rites, meant to acknowledge that they have left one stage of life for another. They are no longer just two lovebirds anymore. They are three. They are a young family. Pregnancy and childbirth are behind them. The afterbirth has been buried in Bethlehem. Her body is healing, and their baby boy is beginning to thrive with milk from Mary's breasts. Mary and Joseph cradle a whimpering baby boy as they present him to God in worship and nervously consecrate him, Jesus, just as the angel Gabriel told them to do. Yahweh saves, God saves is the meaning of his name. He is salvation, Jesus. Boy, do they know that they need someone to save them from the fearful days they live in. They are in the temple doing what is customary and natural for them to do, hoping for a bit of guidance as young parents raising a child in tumultuous and oppressive times. Where do young parents turn today for guidance and consolation? They just might plug their questions into Google, hoping for answers to avoid doing things to their child that will be harmful. They expect a stream of articles and blogs to give them choices of credible possibilities of ways to feed, clothe, instruct, and discipline their child. It may be the case that some of these choices come from older, more experienced folk, but typically the articles and blogs are peer-generated. Young parents are offering advice to other parents who are just one step behind them. The peer-generated silos of young families don't give too much room for the wisdom of elderly folk who have had many years to reflect on life, and if they have had children, to reflect on what it was for them to raise children. The generation gap between the young and the old keeps getting more and more severe. What generation has just been born anyway? There was an X and a Y generation followed by a Z generation or Z in Canada. Are we starting again with Gen A? Beta, thank you. I knew it. I wasn't on top of it. All these gaps are never more noticeable when the new generation has children, and it seems clear that the times are particularly difficult and different from the generations that preceded it. The question I have is, are they any different? That is, are the times of any generation so different from the next? Doesn't every generation of parents nervously set out to raise their children well, given the tumultuous cultural and social place they are situated in? Doesn't every young family need comfort and guidance the moment they hold a newborn baby in their arms and he cries? Somewhere out there are the older generations hearing these cries, this unease, and even doubt and fear, waiting in the shadows to speak encouraging words. Older folk sit on the benches in the park, watching parents pushing their babies in strollers, having lost all hope that they would be asked to share their knowledge of how to dry their baby's tears and make them smile. The gap between the young and the old is full of prejudice and disregard. The gap is full of misunderstanding and mixed emotions about the benefit of any of the wisdom and traditions of the old. The generation gap has even been deliberately carved out by the assumption that faith-filled traditions are unimportant, if not downright dangerous. The gap needs to be bridged. The canyon once carved out by the glacial movement of the fabrication of generational distinctions needs to be filled in, so the young and the old can walk freely together the path of holy wisdom. There were two elderly folk waiting in the shadows of the temple that day. Mary and Joseph were quieting their baby boy in their arms. Simeon, gray hair and beard, had been waiting with great expectation for just that very cry, Jesus's cry, the Savior's cry for the redemption of all people. Simeon heard it and was overjoyed. He could not hold back from telling them what they needed to know, actually what they needed confirmed, which was that he was born to be a light to reveal God to the nations and to be the glory of the people of Israel. Mary had truly thought so once, that this baby would come and that this was this baby, one to bring light. 9 months ago, a song had burst out of her soul with the revelation that she was to give birth to Yahweh Saves, Jesus. She sang out at that time, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of this his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. And holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has come to the aid of his people Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He has come. 9 months have passed, and now everything has become real. He saves is in her arms, and the future is quite unknown to them." Actually, she and Joseph would have been wondering how they were supposed to make any of these words come true. What was their role and responsibility in carrying this privilege? What was the cost going to be for them to fulfill their part in this epic plan of salvation? Simeon answered Mary and Joseph's deep unspoken questions when he approached them. And he said, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." Oh, great. A Google search wouldn't have given such a depressing result. Maybe it would have been better for this couple to have quickly walked out of the temple after fulfilling the religious customs required of them. Maybe they shouldn't have come at all. Did they really need to obey these laws when so many other couples like them didn't value them or have even enough money for sacrificing two turtle doves? Others their age were giving up on the traditions, seeing how irrelevant they were. Devotion to Yahweh's laws weren't changing the oppressive regime of the Roman Empire one bit. It seemed perhaps likely that their traditions weren't improving matters, so why keep them? But two elderly folk have not lost faith. Simeon and Anna have devoted their whole hearts and the whole of their days to God. They have been fostering expectation that God would show up and console them with a Savior. The two of them, in their separate places, in Jerusalem, in the temple, have kept themselves open to God's revelation and God's presence. They have prayed and fasted. They have counseled with their peers and their genders to be ready to receive God's salvation the moment his voice carries through the corridors of the temple. Outside the temple, empire rages and tyrannizes the innocent and young, the poor and vulnerable, tempting people to believe in the promises of their gods, be entertained by the banal and immoral games and parties, and lured by the advantage of wealth and status. Inside the temple, one gray-haired old man and one white-haired widow are at the ready to speak truth and hope that the day of consolation has arrived for Israel and for all people. Simeon and Anna were confident and bold, They didn't care one iota how Mary and Joseph would feel about their audacious and forward words. Being devout and faithful themselves, Mary and Joseph were longing to hear these elders speak divine words over their baby boy. These four people do their part to bridge the generation gap. In being open to give and receive from each other, they hear and understand what God is doing in and through each of them. The Holy Spirit had come and empowered them all. The Holy Spirit was there to fill up the spaces between them. Holy wisdom filled in the canyon and made a path for them to walk towards each other and hear from each other just what was needed to be said and just what needed to be heard. Jesus is God, Yahweh, who has come as the prophet Isaiah promised, as the consolation for all people in whatever crazy world, real world circumstance they find themselves living within. Mary's baby boy was presented to God as an offering to the world that day in the temple. This offering has become the gift of consolation for all humankind. Grieving, struggling, fearing the days they live in will not bring them and their children joy and happiness. Mary, Joseph, Simeon, and Anna all recognized what God was up to in bringing Jesus to birth. He would grow up to console people. All of the stories that will roll out from here in Luke's gospel will show just what that looks like as Jesus consoles those who are ill and poor. God came to console humankind. Salvation is consolation. Consolation is salvation. When we hear Yahweh saves, when we hear Jesus, we are to hear Yahweh consoles. Well, Simeon and Anna will go their ways and die peacefully in the knowledge that this boy has come, the Savior has come. Mary and Joseph leave the temple to take Jesus into the world and foster the light that is in him and see him become the glory of humankind. They left knowing this baby boy's tears were a sign of the difficulties that lay ahead because he was about to bring the rise and fall of many. But they also left consoled and encouraged. Mary and Joseph now knew their calling was blessed and they could do what they were called to do. Release him to save by way of consolation. Now we, the people of God, full of the Holy Spirit, are called to bring salvation to others by bringing consolation in our day and time. And to be brave, to be full of the Holy Spirit, and to be brave and to speak into each other's lives, and to keep that generation gap filled with the presence of God. Amen.
Amen.